Pop Spotting 150.
Friday, October 21st, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Feedback Friday, and we just want to start off by thanking you for all of your comments last week about the show schedule.
Yeah, we love doing the podcast, but the main thing that keeps us going is the connections that we've made with many of you. We've long known that a daily show is great if you can find a way to fit it into your routine, but it can also quickly get out of hand if you miss a few days.
And while many of you were great to say, bring it on, obviously the other side of our question was whether we'd be able to put out a show that we're happy with as often as we have on an indefinite basis.
Right. So long timers know, I mean, Jen and I are practically in the internet dictionary next to the term pod fading. So I think we're a little more sensitive than most about letting our listeners down.
But all of you have been just so nice and so fantastic and supportive. And that really meant a lot to us.
Absolutely. So thank you for that. And, you know, here I was worried about how many weeks in a row we could go, how long we could sustain 5 shows a week before needing a break. We talked about seasons or a week off a month and got great comments from everybody, but what I think we learned is that we shouldn't worry so much about how long we can go without a break, but that we should just try to keep those breaks as short as possible.
And we can do that. I mean, yeah. Taking off for a month is pretty much out of the question, and it would be hard for us to get going again too. So what we're aiming for is, as we suggested, going 3 weeks on and then one off.
Now, of course, many of you also said just do whatever you can do and we'll sort it out. And for sure, I mean, practically speaking, that's essentially what you're going to get. I mean, we've got jobs, we've got 3 kids, we've got just chaos everywhere. It's a tornado. Sometimes the holidays are coming, things get crazy for everybody, but we just want to make sure that you know what to expect. So 3 on, 1 off will at least be our goal.
And we will make sure that whenever we do take a break, it will be short.
That's right. And we'll let you know to expect it. So with that bit of self-indulgent navel gazing out of the way, let's get into some real feedback. Now, we recently shared our respective lists of top 5 podcasts. And, you know, that's a way to help you find good stuff to fill in the weeks that we are off. And we're not surprised to find that many of you are avid podcast listeners.
Stella on the blog writes, "The Moth, The Moth, The Moth. I discovered this via This American Life and Mike Birbiglia in particular, and I've been hooked ever since. The last Moth story that I listened to was Fab Morvan. Yes, Fab Morvan of Milli Vanilli. And I was actually blown away by how honest he was about the whole experience. This is coming from somebody who watched the Behind the Music episode of Milli Vanilli. Come to think of it, Moth and Sporkful are the only 2 podcasts I listen to on a regular basis, to the point where I've neglected This American Life and iTunes Celebrity Playlist podcast."
Well, it's good to hear that Stella is also a fan of The Moth. Many of you were, and I will admit that Birbiglia was the hook for me as well. I mean, do you know anything about Milli Vanilli? You should look up that podcast.
I am really curious to hear that episode because I'm really interested in seeing what Fab Morvan has to say.
Timothy Q on the blog writes, "Thanks for the great podcast recommendations, Ryan and Jen. I've been a longtime listener to Film Spotting, although not as long as you two. The first of 2 podcasts that I would put in my top 5 are the All Songs Considered show put out by National Public Radio. They've turned me on to so much good music that I would otherwise not have been exposed to. They also have another sister podcast that just has live music concerts as well as the awesome Tiny Desk concerts. The second is the Relevant Magazine podcast. This one makes me laugh out loud the most. I also listen to this one mostly in the car, so I'm guessing that I look like a complete idiot as I'm driving down the road laughing my butt off." So, I mean, you've listened to a few of those All Songs Considered shows.
Yeah, it's really a great way to discover new music. That's one of my sources.
Now, they did a Steve Jobs tribute just I think about a week ago, and it was really touching. I mean, they just did 2 songs. They picked random tracks from their respective iPods, and one of them was the original, you know, the classic clicky wheel iPod.
The one I still have.
Yeah, but they didn't even, you know, they didn't choose the song. They just played what came out, and then their reactions to the song was very raw and very honest, and I think was a great way to say thanks to Steve Jobs, someone who made music much more accessible everywhere we are in the world. As far as the Relevant Magazine podcast, I think that's a Christian publication, a progressive Christian publication, but it's got news and interviews and music and live performances, and they cover movies as well. But it's interesting for me to hear Timothy say that it's funny, so I might check that out as well.
Adam in Grapevine writes on the blog, "Radio Lab showed up on my playlist right after this episode where you expressed expressed your love for it. That made me chuckle. If you like John Hodgman, might I suggest a podcast with another Daily Show guy, The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world at thebuglepodcast.com. It's got John Oliver and his companion in comedic arms, Andy Zaltzman. It's not one I play around the kids, but it's quite funny.
Well, you know, I know, Oliver was Professor Ian Duncan on Community, and he's just kind of a really well-known guy, and they do this weekly satirical comedy podcast for the Times Online. It sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, it's John Hodgman. If you want to talk about a podcast that you listen to the car and you're convinced that the people in the next car think you've just escaped from the loony bin, I mean, if that's what he's saying, I definitely want to check out The Bugle. And again, that's at thebuglepodcast.com. Thanks, Adam, for that recommendation. Bonita in Atlanta writes on the blog, great podcast. One, The Tobolowsky Files. Very good stories told by Stephen Tobolowsky. Some awesome behind-the-scenes stuff from TV and movies he's been in. Also, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Car Talk, The Fringe Podcast, Fresh Air, and Gleeful Podcasts. So, well, first of all, The Tobolowsky Files, we hear quite a bit about it because it's mentioned all the time on the Film Spotting podcast.
Yeah, Stephen Tobolowsky is one of those, hey, it's that guys on TV. He's Sandy on Glee. He was in Groundhog Day. He was in Memento. He was on Deadwood, on Heroes. He's been in over 200 movies.
So certainly someone who has a lot of great stories to tell. I am a big fan of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Again, it's a great show to help me think that I'm keeping up with the news and such. And the one thing about that show that really gets to me is they do a lot of clip shows and rerun shows, and that's frustrating because I do look forward to it so much. And Car Talk, just really hilarious. They are the black sheep of the NPR family.
Yeah.
But it's a podcast that I think you need to be in the mood for. I mean, it's good in small doses, but they can get old very quickly.
Tell our story about our brush with Car Talk.
Actually, that's right. You know, we were almost on Car Talk. You know, they tell you that you can call in if you've got a car question. Now, Jen, what was the great mystery that we wanted Car Talk to help us solve?
One day, my neighbor knocked on her door and said there was a big hole in the back window of my van, and I went out to investigate, and there was indeed a hole and some glass blown out, and it was obviously shattered, and I was convinced it was vandalism, but my neighbor was telling me, no, I think it was the heat. I think it was the way the sun was reflecting on the back window, and then I remembered that I had left my windows open during a rainstorm, and that possibly there was steam building up inside, and that might have been what had blown out my window.
Yeah, and in fact, we did call the police to investigate. They saw, and all of the glass, we should say, was almost all of it outside of the car. Like, if something had hit the glass, it seemed like it was hit from the inside. So all of these things together, the police basically said that's probably what it was. It was just blown out by the heat. But everybody that we told that story to was like, you are out of your mind. There is no way that can possibly happen. So that's when we said, sounds like a story for the Car Talk guys. And the best part was I called it in, and we made the cut. I mean, they gave us a call, they gave me a short interview, I think they talked to you a little bit,
right?
But unfortunately, somewhere along the line, we fell out of contention. They basically didn't use us. But one of my favorite souvenirs of that moment was we had the caller ID, and when the Car Talk folks call you, the caller ID actually says Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Correct.
Which is, of course, their legal representation there over at Car Talk Plaza. It was our near brush with the Car Talk infamy. I think it would have been a lot of fun. And as an interesting epilogue, it was about 2 months later when someone else called in with an almost exactly same kind of mystery. Can a car window be broken out just by heat and not by a physical contact? Mm-hmm. Now, it was an interesting experience as well, because when you listen to their podcast, it seems like there's just this long queue of phone calls waiting to come in, and they have all of these great solutions ready for them every time. But it became really clear that there was so much more going on with the show. I mean, they definitely prepare. They do a lot of research. They must call people more than once and to have all this information ready. And then they edit together to give it that wonderful sense of, you know, just coming off the cuff. I mean, I'm not saying that they cheated. It was a wonderful window into the production of a serious radio show. But wow, that's our Car Talk story. A bit of a tangent, but we had to share. We had to tell somebody. Who's next?
Raphael tweets, added 4 from your top 5 list to my podcast list. My top's not mentioned, NPR's Car Talk and Freakonomics Radio.
Well, another fan of Car Talk there, and Freakonomics Radio, I've heard a lot about that. I mean, I've read excerpts from the book, for example. That author is really well known. I think I'm going to have to check that one out. Brad on the blog writes, some of my favorite, which haven't been mentioned yet, Kermode and Mayo Film Reviews, Talking TV with Ryan and Ryan, KCRW's The Business, and CBC's Q podcast. So, I mean, those are all kind of new to me. Are there any of them familiar to you?
I'm familiar with Mark Kermode's writings in his columns, but I'm not really familiar with the podcast.
Yeah, well, I looked it up, and I mean, in addition to reviewing these movies, and some of them are familiar, some of them are movies that we've reviewed, but of course, they're coming from, you know, BBC Radio, so they're on the other side of the pond.
Right.
It's a slightly different perspective, and they have guests on the show. They had Michael Fassbender, they had Gary Oldman, they had Tom Wilkinson, so definitely a movie podcast that we should check out. And Q, you know, I don't know that podcast either. Again, I think it's more of that kind of modern thought or a faith podcast, a religious podcast. So probably a good a companion with the Relevant Magazine podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some good podcast recommendations. But there was a lot of feedback relating to music and our recent show on cover songs.
Jasva from Norway. Norway? Seriously?
Yes,
cool.
Norway.
Writes, hi, Ryan and Jen. Wanted to share my favorite cover. Beyonce's Crazy in Love, covered by Anthony and the Johnsons.
When I talk to my friend so quietly, who you think he is, look what you've done to me. Tennis shoe, don't even need to buy a new dress. You ain't here, there ain't no one who's to impress. Just the way that you know what I thought I knew. It's just the beat that my heart skips when I'm with you. But I still don't understand just how your love can do what no one else can. Got me looking so crazy right now. Your love got me looking so crazy right now. Got me looking so crazy right now. Your touch got me looking so crazy right now.
Anthony's version is almost impossible to recognize if you don't know what's coming. It's calm, beautiful, and slowly building in intensity. I think one of the reasons why I love this cover so much is that it takes the words and melody into a totally different genre. It changes the mood of the song completely, but in my opinion, this cover is so much better than the original.
Well, that's certainly a theme that we picked up with our covers, with the people who wrote in. You almost like these, you generally like these covers better than the original, and in many ways, it really resonates when they completely change the sound, the tone, the style, the picture that's painted in your mind by these covers. I think that one of our Wildcard Wednesdays should basically be these listener suggestions for covers, and we would let them DJ and play the samples of each song.
That sounds great. There are actually several covers of that particular song. I have a couple of them, one by the Magic Numbers and one by Snow Patrol.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a popular cover song. Now, Red Mike D on Facebook writes, here are five cover songs that I really enjoy in no particular order. One, K.D. Lang doing Helpless, covering Neil Young. Two, Ray LaMontagne and Damien Rice covering the Bee Gees' To Love Somebody. It's a performance you can find on YouTube. Three, Eliza Doolittle covering Creep, another YouTube gem, completely different from the original. Four, Glenn Hansard. You're a big fan of Glenn Hansard.
I am.
Doing Van Morrison's Astral Weeks, and it's just Glenn and his heavily worn guitar here. And five, Marilyn Manson's Sweet Dreams, such a creepy version of the Eurythmics classic. And I've certainly heard that one, and it is creepy. Now, do you know any of these other covers?
I was familiar with K.D. Lang's Helpless, but I think a lot of them just exist on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was finding, is that a lot of these covers only exist on YouTube because, of course, they're just bootlegs or they're taken from live performances, and they're probably never going to be on a commercial release or on a major album or a CD because that requires a whole lot of, you know, paperwork and royalties and stuff.
Right.
So just kind of catching these one-offs is the great way to do it. A lot of the Bjork covers, for example, that I like also only exist on YouTube.
Greg writes on the blog, there's a Depeche Mode tribute album called For the Masses that actually turned my opinion around about Depeche Mode. Meat Beat Manifesto's take on Everything Counts and Hooverphonic's version of Shake the Disease might actually be better than the originals. One of my favorite albums from last year was Renee Fleming's Dark Hope. Fleming is an opera singer, but she manages to curb that classical training on this album, which consists mostly of indie rock covers. I think I've listened to her version of Intervention more than Arcade Fire's original. The backing music on Dark Hope isn't really compelling, but Fleming's voice is really the draw. One Japanese artist who does great covers is ACO. She brought out the symphonic aspects of Radiohead's Creep and managed to put a beat on Kate Bush's This Woman's Work without making it sound awkward. Hmm. She's also savvy enough to cover I Know What Boys Like by The Waitresses.
Well, I love to hear from Greg. He's kind of our musical guru, and he certainly has a good handle on Japanese artists. We should have him on the show to kind of share some of his picks. But wow, if there's anything that can turn Greg around on Depeche Mode, I had to look it up. I mean, I don't really have a strong opinion of them. Whenever I hear Depeche Mode, I only think of the Dead Milkmen calling them Depeche Commode.
Or Depressed Mood.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of, you know, judgmental and really silly things said about them, so this might be something worth looking up. But just so you know, this album For the Masses, the iTunes version of it, is missing some tracks, so you might want to shop for that one elsewhere. I also had to go and get a sample of Renee Fleming's Intervention, and it's funny that Greg wasn't fond of the music behind it. I kind of liked it because it was so overdone. It was so lush. They had organs and guitars and I think a little bit of strings in there, and I'm always a sucker for that kind of stuff. But yes, she has a powerful voice. I mean, it's even though he says that she pulls back on that operatic training, it did come through, and it is a great cover there as well. Good stuff, Greg. Mel on the blog writes, I like most of the covers you picked, especially the Sundays' Wild Horses and, of course, the Beatles' Twist and Shout. The Beatles covered several artists, and they themselves are probably the most covered artist of all time. My favorite songs by someone else that the Beatles covered has to be Act Naturally. The song was a number one hit for country and western singer Buck Owens and the Buckaroos in 1963. This cover is a great country music track with lead vocals by Ringo Starr. And one of my favorite Beatles cover song is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds by Elton John. This version went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in late 1974 and may be somewhat more popular than the original. You could do an entire show of Beatles covers.
Sure.
The list is endless. My final cover for now is Blockbuster by Material Issue. The band is well known for their power pop hit Valerie Loves Me, which came out in 1991. They were one of my favorite bands of the 1990s and issued several singles and albums focused on the girls who were out of reach or got away. Covering The Sweet's 1973 hit Blockbuster is not surprising. They pay homage to this glam rock gem with more energy than of the original. This is my favorite cover by Material Issue. Sadly, their reign as a power pop band came to an end with the tragic death of Jim Ellison in 1996. You know Material Issue, though.
Yeah, they were one of those bands that they played on 120 Minutes. I rather like them.
Now, you kind of made a sound when I said sung by Ringo Starr. I guess he's not your favorite vocalist on the Beatles?
He's not my favorite Beatle,
But, I mean, you know, country, western, that's your people there, Jen. I mean, did you know Buck Owens and the Buckaroos?
I know of them. I wasn't familiar with the original.
Well, thanks for that comment, Mel, and for all of your feedback. Now, Mel is a wonderful resource when it comes to music. His website is just chock full of trivia and information. You can look up Mel's Internet Hawaii or MacProHawaii.com, and he's got not just stuff from national charts, but again, local charts that don't exist anywhere else, and it's always an interesting read. Now, as a closing note to the talk about music and covers, it was kind of a weird coincidence spotting going on, because we had just done a show where we featured the Pixies. I had done a cover of the Pixies that I really liked. And then on the most recent episode of Film Spotting, not only did they use as their featured music the song Where Is My Mind by the Pixies, which is the song I picked, but they followed up with a cover of the Pixies. And it was actually a pretty good cover.
Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite covers ever. It's like a live acoustic version by Bobby Bear Jr.
So you want to look that one up as well. But I love when good podcasts think alike. In any case, we do appreciate all of your feedback. It is your interactions. It is your friendship. It is your sticking with us all this time that is the fuel to keep us going, and we want to make it as easy as possible to get in touch.
You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can comment on our blog at popspotting.net.
Now, if you go to the Pop Spotting page on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting, you can post your thoughts on the shows that we've posted, or you can post your thoughts on any topic and get a conversation going. It's been a great place to hear and learn about some of the things that you guys are into. You can also connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
If you like podcasts as much as we do, we know sometimes it's hard to keep up with them all, and syncing files on your phone can be a pain. Fortunately, there's Stitcher Smart Radio. It's a free app for your iPhone, Android, or any other smartphone that lets you easily stream the latest episode of your favorite podcasts, including Pop Spotting.
Yes, we certainly hope you're listening to Pop Spotting. We'll be back soon for more pop talk. For now, we do want to thank, as always, Dan Pash Freshman of the Sporkful for making our theme song.
And big thanks to you for listening to our silly little show. For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm silly little Ryan.
Aloha.
Aloha.